Thanks, Krista. Somebody was describing in the prayer time what Lou and I have been going through recently is kind of a roller coaster, because last weekend, where we were last weekend, Luann, we were in BC. Our youngest son, Micah, got married in Whistler. That was a lot of fun. Lots of snow in Whistler. And by the way, praise God for the kind of snow we get in Manitoba, because it's light and fluffy. And other parts of Canada get what I call heart attack snow. And I don't like shoveling that stuff. I love our stuff. So anyway, I'm trying to work with me. I'm trying to be positive about our weather. Work with me. I'm also grateful for all the snow plows that make us late for things and obstruct traffic, because that means I don't have to shovel the streets. Anyway, last week we were at a wedding in BC, and next week we'll be at a funeral for Luann's mom, celebration of life. And so it's been a lot of highs and lows in our family experience. And today's Sunday, we're in Winnipeg, right? We're in Winnipeg. Sweet. But I'm glad to be here. And so as Krista was saying, Andy had to leave town suddenly. And in fact, he was going to leave on Wednesday morning, and he felt led to leave Tuesday night. It's just a matter of urgency to get there to spend time with his mom before she passed away. And we can certainly relate to that. And time is just of the essence, and you drop everything and you just go, right? You just make a priority. And that's because relationships are important. They're the only thing we take into eternity with us. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Never. So all the stuff you accumulate suddenly becomes stuff, and your relatives pick over it and decide what they want to keep and what goes in the dumpster. And really, in the big picture, who cares? The only thing that really, really matters in life is relationships. That's kind of an interesting introduction to the series today, right? I didn't really quite plan on saying that, but we're going to be looking at discussing emotionally healthy relationships over the next few weeks, and it's a follow-up to the emotionally healthy spirituality course we did last fall. When you think about the shape of a cross, there's a vertical element to it, right? It kind of describes our relationship with Creator, because Creator made us. We are His creation. We are actually co-creators with Creator. And it talks about our relationship. And then the other element of the cross, the other dimension, is this: the horizontal. And it's the relationship we have with each other. One of the early church fathers says you cannot have God as a father without the church as your mother. So we need each other. Whether we think that way or not, we need each other. And so our relationships are so important. As important as they are, sometimes we get a little messed up. We get tripped up with unhealthy relationships. And so we need to learn some skills, some relational skills that help us love other people more. You know, people say, you may have heard someone say this, I really love humanity. It's people I can't stand. It's individual things. So you can love people in theory and say, I'm a loving person, and I care about people, but when it comes to particular individuals on the bus or in traffic or in your family or at work, at school, or whatever, they go like, that person is really like a piece of gravel in my shoe. They just, Well, here's an opportunity. Isn't it kind of God to give us an opportunity to learn how to love people better, and to get and to learn some skills to do this? The skill we're going to discuss today is how to stop mind reading and clarify our expectations. And I love this picture of these little guys here, because, you know, we think we know what other people think, right? We think we do. I grew up in a family that's how we communicated. We just tried to read each other's minds. Generally didn't go well, but that was just our practice. Why? Because, well, if anybody had an emotion, that was a little scary. So we kind of stuffed the emotion under the rug and bump into, we had a lot of elephants in our house. We kept bumping into the elephants, but no one wanted to talk about the elephants. We just adapted to them. And one day, my family used to go to church a lot. I went to church a lot because my family went to church a lot. One Sunday afternoon, something unusual happened. The pastor called our house. Uh-oh. What was the pastor calling my dad about? Uh-oh. What have we done now? Was he in trouble? No. His name was Eric, and he was a really good communicator. He was emotionally mature. And he just wanted to clarify with my dad. He just wanted to clear something up. He said, Ivan, that was my dad's name. Ivan, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have a misunderstanding when I said this, that, or the other thing. And my dad said, fine. No, fine. Everything's fine. And we went and we discussed it at the dinner table. And we thought, that's weird. Why would he call to clarify something? Why would he call to clarify? You know, we should just read minds. Why? That's weird. But I remember, even as a young kid, thinking, wow, people do that? You can do that? You can actually talk to somebody and clear something up so that you understand each other. And, like, it actually makes your relationship better. Well, unfortunately, I didn't carry that a lot into my life. It was just kind of a moment thinking, as I was preparing for this talk, that, yeah, I remember somebody doing something like that in my family when I was young. And it was remarkable because we just weren't good at it. We didn't have that habit. We didn't practice that skill. But mind reading can really get us into a lot of trouble. I know this has probably never happened to you, but if you have a partner, and imagine your partner, you touch base during the day. When you're not working, you text or whatever and call, and you get into that habit. Well, what happens suddenly if your partner doesn't call? Oh, you didn't call me from work today, or whatever. What's wrong? And you start, and you don't hear from the person. And you think of all, first of all, they've probably been murdered or got in a car crash. Or you're thinking, oh, they're mad at me from last night. We had that heated discussion. Never a fight or an argument, just a heated discussion. And now they're not talking to me. And, I'm not going to talk to them if they're not going to talk to me. And all of a sudden, we start reading other people's minds. We don't know what's going on. And the person comes home and, hi, how was your day? Fine. I'm not talking to you. You didn't call me today, and I'm not talking to you, so fine. And the temperature in the room gets really cold and ice, and we go to bed, and we don't really talk, and things carry on. And then it comes out that your partner didn't call you because they had this crazy emergency at work, and they just didn't have any space. And you feel like, I was a total jerk. And unless you clarify that, the walls stay up. But if you go and apologize, say, hey, I'm sorry, I was thinking this, I was thinking that, unless you sort of this mind-reading thing, things can get a lot worse. The book of Proverbs in the Bible actually talks a bit about mind-reading, not specifically, but when we jump to conclusions, when we assume things about other people, it really gets us into trouble. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Do you know anybody like this? They know all the facts, and they don't want you to confuse. Their mind is made up, and they don't want anyone to confuse them with the real facts, right? Fools take no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their opinions. Let's look at the next one. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. None of us have ever done that. It's probably that other church I was talking to last night. Those people probably do it. Nobody here does that, right? To answer before listening is folly and shame. And next, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Are we taking this in today? Are we taking this in? And can I give us a little encouragement? I gave up for guilt for Lent several years ago on the advice of my friend. So don't feel guilty about this stuff. Just feel maybe a little convicted, nudged by the Holy Spirit. Hey, this is good stuff. It's, more importantly, it's in the Bible. Maybe we should pay attention to it. So these three verses we've looked at just talk about the danger of jumping to conclusions without getting all the facts, right? Without clarifying. And here's the next one. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. All this wisdom from Proverbs 18, all these little nuggets remind us, when we read minds and jump to conclusions, when we assume things, we're endangering our relationships. Really, it's really bad news. Plus, we make ourselves look foolish as well. Next. So, the point is, never assume you know what someone else is thinking or feeling. You can try. And all I can say is, good luck with that. Because you're going to make a tremendous mess of your relationships, right? If we assume things. Okay, next, Esther. So, the dangers of mind reading. We tell ourselves stories about others that are not true. Just like in that partner story, well, my partner didn't call me because they're mad at me and they're holding a grudge and they're just really busy, right? They just had a crisis at work and they didn't have time to call me and say, hey, I've got a crisis to work. I can't talk today. I still love you. We'll sort out our issues when I get home. They just didn't have time. So when we tell ourselves stories about others that are not true, we're literally bearing false witness against our neighbor. Have you heard that before? Thou shalt not bear, it's the ninth commandment. That should sound vaguely familiar to us, right? So you don't want to fall into that trap. And when we make assumptions without checking them out, we damage friendships and families and relationships in our lives. How many relationships, how many churches have been torn apart by people just assuming stuff and not clarifying things? When there's a little crack, when there's a little crack in a friendship or a relationship, the enemy likes to get in there and just make it a little bit bigger. Like if you've got a crack in the foundation of your house and you get some water in there in Winnipeg in the fall and it freezes and expands a little bit, what's it going to look like in the spring, right? And then the next year the same thing happens and the crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If we don't deal with the cracks in our relationships, it's no wonder we have fractures. It's no wonder. So, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Literally, we are lying to ourselves about our neighbors when we just make wild assumptions, when we try to read people's minds. And you see this happen. Someone gives me, you call it the stink eye or the hairy eyeball or a dirty look or whatever it is, you know, and they, or you just see someone across from the room, they look, oh, just grumpy or unhappy and think, what did I do to do that? We don't know. It might have been the pizza they had last night. We have no idea. They may be totally thinking about something else. I mean, it's not my fault. Whatever's going on in your gastrointestinal tract is not my responsibility. But we take it on ourselves. And it's fun, kind of funny how we make life all about ourselves, right? And think, oh, I knew they didn't like me. This just confirms that I'm a bad person. And we just go crazy places when we mind read. So, what could we do? Some solutions to avoid mind reading. The story, you say to the person, the story I'm telling myself is this. Is this true or not? Does this make sense? Or you could say, I was wondering, blah, blah, blah. I was wondering if, you were mad at me when you didn't call me from work, going back to that earlier example. I felt like we didn't have a chance to talk today, and I didn't know if you were busy, if you're still mad at me. Can you tell me what's going on, you know? And now sometimes in some relationships, I know you may feel like you may want to put on a helmet before you ask that question. But if you care about the relationship, you pursue it, right? You say, hey, this relationship is worth more to me than my comfort right now, and I really like to know, really, is there something going on? So could you confirm that? Or you could say the classic, I think that you think this. Does that make sense? Is that correct? Now, hard, easy, what do you think? It's a little bit awkward, takes a bit of a risk, but the consequences of not dealing with a crack in a relationship means that it leads to a fracture later on, and then you're really hooped. And if we can learn to nip things in the bud and stop mind reading, we give ourselves a gift and we give the other person a gift, and we learned how to make our relationships more healthy. Okay, next please. Let's talk a little bit about expectations. expectations are kind of interesting things. We have expectations in life. We think people should treat us in a certain way. If we're in a relationship with someone, we think that they should always automatically be kind and forgiving and give us a break, even if we don't deserve it, or even if we irritate them. And just thinking about our son Micah being married. So this is his first week of marriage, and we're just curious to see how that's going on. And I'm sure it's wonderful, but it's just the expectations when you're moving in with another person. What is that going to look like? Does the toilet seat stay up or down? Or how do you squeeze the toothpaste? Do you squeeze it from the middle? Or do you roll it up like some kind of anal person? I mean, no, I don't say that. I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say that. That was a joke. So how do you do things like that? What are your expectations? And we chuckle at this and laugh at this, but these things can be a big deal after a while if you don't sort them out as you go along. What's interesting about expectations is that they can totally derail a relationship if they're not healthy, if they're not realistic. The problem with a lot of our expectations is that they're unconscious. We have expectations of other people that we don't even know that we have. Now think about that for a minute. Some of us have expectations about people that we don't even realize that we have. Again, going back to my family, I think there were a lot of expectations, a lot of unwritten rules. And they're just some things you didn't talk about. And when someone came into our family or married into my family, they didn't really know the rules. And to be honest, I wasn't even aware of the rules until I was married and Luann was trying to integrate into it. And I'm going, oh yeah, I guess that's a rule. I just sort of grew up with it and kind of take it for granted, right? And in some families, it's almost like learning another language. Isn't it? It's like learning another language. You're entering into that family. They communicate one way. You communicate another way. And it's really, can be really jarring. I remember because my family didn't deal with conflict directly, everyone would just hold grudges and smolder for years. When in Luann's family, they had a much more healthy way of just kind of dealing with it. And then it was over. But I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, I got to hide under the table. You can't talk to each other like that. But then all of a sudden, the smoke would clear and everything was fine. And I'm going, wait a minute. In my family, we're supposed to hold a grudge for 6 months. That's weird. But it's good. It's good that it was different and more healthy. But we just have these expectations. So I realized in my family, we had unconscious expectations of how to treat each other. And we often don't know that we have an expectation until we're disappointed. You didn't meet my expectation. You didn't come through for me. You didn't do such and such. And if we're not careful, expectations can be called something we read this year called premeditated resentments. Now let's take a minute to think about that. If I'm not careful in expressing what my expectation is in a relationship, it means like when you don't read my mind and do what I want you to, it's like all of a sudden I'm going to resent you. I'm planning to resent you if you don't meet my expectation. But that's hard. How is the other person supposed to read my mind? See, that's the problem with expectations. If they're unconscious, And if they're unrealistic, if they're not reasonable, you know, how are you supposed to remember to send me a birthday card if I never send you a birthday card, right? That's an unreasonable expectation, right? How are you supposed to know it's my birthday if I don't tell you? It's January 31st, by the way. Anyway, thanks for asking. Expectations can be unspoken. We're conscious of them, and they may be realistic, but if they're not spoken, how are you supposed to know, right? Now, honestly, I have no expectations of you remembering my birthday on January 31. It's okay. I just use that. Honestly, it's okay. I did use that as a joke. But if they're unspoken, then, you know, how are we supposed to know? And if an this is very important. If an expectation is unagreed upon, if we have expectations that the other person did not agree to, or others have expectations of us that we did not agree to, that's not really fair, right? I know this is overstating the obvious, but think about it. You know, if expectations are unconscious, unrealistic, unspoken, and unagreed upon, they're not really realistic expectations. They're not valid. They're just potential grudges, really, just waiting to happen. Okay. So then what is a valid or invalid expectation? So glad you asked. Let's find out. A valid expectation is conscious. You are aware of it, it's there, and you express it. And it's realistic. It's realistic. Maybe someone doesn't have the capacity to meet whatever you're expecting. You've got to make sure it's realistic. And it's got to be spoken. The other person has to know what the expectation is. Otherwise, it's just not fair. Honey, I never realized it was so important to squeeze the toothpaste this certain way. And because I love you, I am going to squeeze the toothpaste this certain way, okay? Or whatever it is. If it's for the sake of your relationship and if you really love the person, I'm sure you can negotiate how to handle the toothpaste, okay? It's got to be spoken. It's got to be agreed upon. It's got to be, you know, we have to agree. This is how we're going to handle the toothpaste or handle the whatever issue it is. There are some expectations in life that it may be impossible to kind of mutually agree upon. In one sense, if you're disciplining a child, you're not asking for them to agree to obey you or not. It's just, okay, I'm responsible for you as a parent. I'm going to teach you how to be a responsible adult. You know, when you get to 18, maybe we'll talk about expectations. We can negotiate. But there are some exceptions to this rule. I think between an employer and an employee, there are contracts that you have to follow. If you don't follow this, then you don't get paid or you don't have a job. That kind of goes without saying. If you make marriage vows with a person, yes, there'll be expectations, but if you're making a covenant relationship with someone, you have to keep those. You're committed to keeping that relationship and those promises. But valid expectations are conscious, realistic. You think about what's the specific evidence that this person can or will do this. They have to be spoken. Have you clearly spoken the expectation, or you just think the other person should know? They have to be agreed upon. Has the other person agreed to this expectation? All these things really boil down to this practical verse on the next slide, speaking the truth in love to one another. When we think about mind reading, avoiding mind reading, and having realistic expectations of other people in our relationships, it all boils down to speaking the truth in love. Now, you can speak the truth to somebody. You can lower the boom. Oh, I'm going to lay some truth on you, buddy. I've just been waiting for this. In love? Well, yeah, tough love. I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and you need to suck it up and fly right and do things this way. Boom. That's not exactly speaking in love. But if you go to someone saying, hey, I was wondering if we could talk about this and sort this out, that's much more helpful. That's speaking in love. Last night, I was driving home from a speaking gig in the south end of town, and I had a chat with Cornelius on the phone, hands-free, because we had been talking and emailing, and I just asked him about something, left him a message, and I called him back. And we were talking about an issue, and then he said the magic words, Rick, I just want to clarify something. Where did you learn that word, clarify? Honestly. Conflict resolution, see? You should be doing this talk. Anyway, so Cornelius wanted to clarify something with me that we had been talking about, and you know, in sort of a group conversation. And I think we did, right? It was good. How did you feel after that was done?
Oh, great. It's worth it.
I felt really good, too. And so that I couldn't hug you because I was driving and you weren't in the car, but I felt like it because you had taken the time to clarify something with me that could have been contentious. And with my personality, if I don't talk, if I don't use my words and sort things out, then I get all passive aggressive and I stew and it keeps me awake at night and I mutter to myself and that's not good. So I'm trying to grow out of that. And Cornelius helped me last night by saying at the end of our conversation, I said, hey, Rick, I'd just like to clarify something. Wow, the magic word for today, clarify. And that is a way that we can speak the truth to each other. So maybe there's some people that God is nudging you, giving you a little elbow. Here's some things I need to clarify. When you clarify something with someone, can you please be kind? Okay? Please be kind. Go back to saying, hey, the story I'm telling myself is this. Does this make sense? Or I think that you're thinking this. Is that right or not? Or can you tell me if I'm off base? Seek to understand the other person and put more value in that than being understood yourself, okay? Somebody wrote a song about that. He's a saint. Anyway, it's Saint Francis said that. It's a brilliant concept. So closing the service today, I'm wondering, I just want to leave this with you. Who do you need to talk to? Who do you potentially need to forgive? As we think of this, who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to forgive? Jesse, why don't you guys come up and close us out? And while you guys are coming up, I'm going to pray. Okay? There's a lot of things to pray about and discuss these days in our church. Okay? A lot of important stuff. A lot of important issues. And this is a great opportunity for us to put some of these skills into practice. Okay? You know, practice clarifying things and avoiding reading people's minds. That's really good. That's going to grease the wheels. It's a practical way of loving each other, speaking the truth in love. And Jesus, I just pray that you'll help us take good risks in doing this. Your heart is for this church. Your heart is for us. Your heart is for our relationships and our families and friends and co-workers and neighbors and even our enemies. Lord, as we clarify things, just give us courage to speak and courage and wisdom to speak the truth and love to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.